The needs of the work. Maitland, New South Wales, Australia, November 11, 1899. I may soon be called to lay off my armor, and I wish to say some things that I think some would hardly bear to hear now. Why should the funds from the Wessels family have been transferred to America, where our work has already so large a representation in churches, sanitariums, school buildings, and publishing houses? This was the question presented before a body of people by one who is commissioned of God to take cognizance of all that transpires in our world. Were there not in other lands fields to be worked, fields that have not yet received the last message of warning? There was a time when, in America, the cause of God was in distressing need of help to work the new fields. The work struggled against difficulties and opposition of every type. Wherever it was received, the entrance of truth was a blessing. The truth elevated the debased, reformed the wrongdoer, educated the ignorant, comforted the mourner, restrained the tyranny of slavery, and liberated those that were bound. It introduced reforms in varied lines. The truth presented, as it is in Jesus, won a place in the world's confidence, and it should have gone forward, attaining victory after victory. The present truth for the time made its way by teaching men to search the Scriptures. It attracted the attention of scientific inquirers, of seekers for truth in all lines. Physical reforms, intellectual and moral advantages, were presented in rays of divine light. Wherever the light of truth has penetrated from America to other countries, and souls have been converted to the truth, the same results have been seen. The evidence will follow the entrance of truth into new territories. The truth makes its way against human prejudice and the hostility of the clergy and rulers whose course of action needs to be regulated, purified, cleansed, as when Christ cleansed the temple at his first advent. Those only who improve the light which they have already received are prepared to receive with unprejudiced mind the message from heaven: "Prepare to meet thy God." Amos 4, verse 12. In every place where the truth is introduced, there will be men raised up who will be converted and will advance the truth. This is the work to be carried forward in new territory. The means, which in the providence of God was in the possession of some who in foreign lands received the truth, was not to be transferred to America. It was to be used in working new territory, in annexing new fields to be enlightened. And when enlightened, the converts of these fields were also to engage in the same grand work. They were to aid in carrying the message of truth to the regions beyond. In all these fields, the medical missionary work was to be connected with the gospel ministry. In new portions of the Lord's vineyard, the foreign countries where prejudice is strong and the habits of the people have become stereotyped, the truth could not at first be presented in all its decided points. The medical missionary work must prepare the way for the truth to find entrance. Then the Bible truth should be presented by judicious men, men who are fitted to carry the work because they themselves are worked by the Holy Spirit. Then reforms would be seen. The working of truth will be manifest in elevating the debased, restraining tyranny, liberating the bondmen, and reforming public administrations. Had the work in Africa been carried forward as it should have been, the present war would not have been as it now is. The presentation of Bible truth, accompanied by the medical missionary work, would have found favor with the people, who, if properly treated, are not treacherous and cruel. The truth received by them would have worked changes more decided than have been revealed in a so-called Christian nation that have had the gospel preached to them. The treachery of the enlightened nations has been after the satanic order. Their slave dealing and their treatment of the natives in Africa have caused the African people to abhor the white man. Far more than America, Africa had a claim on the means of the believers of that country. And the needs of Australia also should have been considered. Australia was as a new world, and the truth was to find a place in hearts that would feel the burden of the necessities in far distant lands. Thus the work would be carried, and centers of interest created at different points. Australia presents a large field, and means is needed for establishing schools not after the habits and fashions of any other schools in the world. There must be a new class of people to be worked. great changes are to be made. The Word of God is to stand as the first, the last, the best in everything. Men are needed who can devise and plan under the divine enlightenment.
God abhors all selfishness. He will not sanction it in the use of His means in carrying forward even a good work. He has given light, showing that it is our duty constantly to advance, adding territory to territory. This has been but feebly done. In America, certain enterprises have been worked as if they were all important, when they constituted only one of the lines of work to be carried in connection with the special truth for this time. The last message of mercy is to be the great leading interest. The work of presenting this message must go forward until it shall belt the world. This was the plan given by Lord Jesus Christ just before His ascension to heaven. But if men's supposed wisdom is allowed to control, the so-called medical missionary work will demand such an outlay of means as to cut away the very foundation of the gospel plan. The ministry has not been regarded as God designed it should be. It has been treated as of secondary importance. God designed that it should hold the very first place among the human agencies in His work. The minds of men must be called to the Scriptures as the most effective agency in the salvation of souls. The ministry of the Word is the great educational force. By its aid, men are to be prepared to act wisely in the lines of work connected with it. Those who disparage the ministry and try to conduct the medical missionary work independently are trying to separate the arms from the body. What would be the result should they succeed? We should see hands and arms, flying arms, dispensing means without the direction of the head. The work would become unbalanced, disproportionate. It would unsettle minds and bring confusion. Many portions of the Lord's vineyard would be left unworked. That which God designed should be the hand and arm would take the place of the whole body. The ministry would find no standing room. Every word spoken to discourage the ministry has grieved the heart of Christ and has greatly pleased the adversary. The medical missionary work, disconnected from the ministry, would soon become a strange medley of disorganized atoms. It would consume but not produce. Instead of proving to be the entering wedge for the truth of God, it would sap all the life and force from the ministry. Against men ordained by the will of God and doing the work of God, tirades have been made which these persons no more deserve than did the one who censured them. Methods have been adopted and work has been done that bears not the signature of the divine. The medical missionary work conducted independently will not only consume means needed in other lines, but in the very work of helpless, apart from the ministry of the Word, it will place men where they will scoff at Bible truth. The truth for this time embraces the whole gospel. Rightly presented, it will work in man the very changes that will make evident the power of God's grace upon the heart. Men need not feel that they must devote several years to the study of Greek, Latin, or Hebrew before they can preach the gospel. Many whom God calls to preach His message will never understand these languages. But if they are learning of the great teacher, they will be wide awake, earnest, effective workers, able to fill their place either in the pulpit or with the pen. And they can speak in regard to the needs of the physical structure, presenting the matter in plain, simple terms. Thus the ones who most need instruction will not be shut out by the use of a language which they cannot understand. Physicians in their advice and prescriptions often use terms that are not understood by the common people. Is this a necessity? Not at all. Their meaning can be expressed in plain, simple words. If the education for medical missionary work leads men, in their dealing with the common people, to use terms that only an educated physician can understand, then the first duty of our educators in this line is to study the simplicity of Christ. Christ was the greatest physician, as well as the greatest teacher the world has ever known. He was in Himself a divine college. He expressed truth in the most simple words in order that the poor people might know just what to do. I advise all who are engaged in medical missionary work to take a full term, which is a lifetime, in learning lessons in the simplicity of Christ. Then their teaching would benefit the common people. Physicians, above all others, need to cultivate simplicity of speech. In giving instruction to the people, they should not employ the professional vocabulary which they themselves have learned, for but few will pass through the drill or have opportunity even to consult a dictionary in order to learn the meaning of strange words. I am writing that which has been presented to me by the Lord. Let not our young men think it an evidence of deep knowledge to use words that need to be interpreted. Bear in mind that Christ was the Majesty of Heaven, the King of Glory, and in His teaching, He could have used the language familiar to Himself, even the language of heaven. But at all times He kept a restraint upon Himself, that the people whom He addressed might not misunderstand even one word that proceeded from the mouth of God. By His words He was scattering the heavenly grain of His doctrine, which it requires skillful and patient labor to gather up. He was sowing the seed of truth which concerns both the present and the future life. This seed, planted in other minds, was to be cultivated, that its fruit might be continually imparted. Through the ministry of the apostles and their successors, the work was to be carried forward. They were to be continually sowing the seed which would yield an abundant harvest unto eternal life. The Lord in His teaching, in both the Old and the New Testaments, desired to put the world in possession of every essential truth. These truths are to be searched out. Precious developments are yet in reserve to reward the diligent seeker.